and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host, Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
You all right?
Hello, everyone. We're back. We took a week off. It was great. Did we watch any anime? Probably. Probably not. You'll never know unless we confess, which I'm not going to.
I like the idea that we've never watched any of these anime. We just, every week we get together and just make bullshit opinions about them. That's it.
I follow along on the anime subreddit.
Yeah. I get all of my information from the Anime No Context subreddit, so that's why nothing I say makes sense. And usually revolves around boobs.
You see one out of context still frame from the shows we're talking about, and you're just like, I would base my entire opinion on this alone.
To be fair, we had an episode a few weeks ago where I based my entire opinion off a fucking cotton field.
This is true. And if you haven't listened to the episode, go check it out. But no, we do actually watch anime, and we are going to be talking about anime. We're continuing with the summer 2021 anime season as we sit down today to talk about Tsukimichi-Moonlit Fantasy-.
Oh, thank you so much.
You asked for the hyphens, I give you the hyphens. We'll just be referring to it as Moonlit Fantasy. I will probably say Moonlight at some point, because until about 5 minutes ago, I didn't even realize it was called Moonlit. I was convinced it was Moonlight Fantasy. So we're off to a good start. But what is it? Well, Moonlit Fantasy is a... It's based on a light novel, the same name, and it is an action-adventure comedy fantasy isekai. That's right, we're back with more isekai. There's so much isekai. This 12-episode series has been put together by C2C Studios. They have worked on a couple of titles, some you may have heard of, including The Wandering Witch, The Journey of Elena, My Sister Came Oni-chan, or Ne-chan, and Suka-Suka, or as it's known by its full name, World End. What do you do at the end of the world? Are you busy? Will you save us?
A lot of questions, I think, to take in.
I feel like that is enough for us to talk about in itself, is just that title, but we'll save that for another day. For anyone who doesn't know, that Suka-Suka is like notorious for being like one of the longest slash most bizarre light novel titles. It's actually a very good anime, but I digress. So, Moonlit Fantasy, being an isekai, you kind of know what you're coming into here. We've got the usual setup. Protagonist gets isekai to another world, and hijinks follows. However, there's a little bit of a twist this time. The actual isekai itself is kind of underwhelming compared to other shows. The stick is that basically the protagonist's parents are from the fantasy world. So they have been isekai'd to, I guess, modern day Japan. They've lived a nice life and they've had kids and it's all great. But the deal was that at some point, the goddess who sent them to the modern world was going to basically be like, yo, give me one of your kids so that I can, like, you know, turn them into a hero. And the protagonist who gets picked is like, well, hang on, this is weird. I'm getting isekai'd. But then after having a conversation with a god and it's like, well, it's you or your sisters. He's like, all right, I'll do it. Don't worry. Leave my sisters be. They're doing good. I'll take this on. So it's like, okay, cool. Meets the goddess, and she's immediately just like, mate, you are ugly. Get the fuck out of my sight. And she just yeets him to the edge of the world. And because she has to give him a blessing, she gives him the ability to talk to all races except for humans. Because humans are like, she loves humans. They're all, it's established in like the third episode that all the humans in this world are like just gorgeous. They're all supermodels. And so when she sees this guy, she's just like, ugh, get out of here. And she then mentions she's going to get someone else. And, you know, as he's being thrown away, the god from his world quickly sees him and is just like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Here's some of my power. Good luck. And then, yeah, he crash lands into the middle of the literal wasteland. And I think within like 5 minutes discovers that he's OP, because of course he is. But their reasoning for like explaining why he's OP is that, oh, the gravity or something. It's either the gravity or like the force of Earth put more strain on him. It's like some Superman Red Sun level of nonsense where it's just like, well, it was really hard to live on that planet, but now you're here because it's easier. You're actually really strong.
I actually forgot they mentioned that in the first episode.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember if it's like what the actual reasoning is, but it is essentially just like living on Earth was really hard. I think it's because like the magic was low or something, or it could be gravity, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I do remember after you say it, because I thought, yeah, that's, like you said, it's kind of Superman. Krypton was different in this way, so now that you're on Earth, you have powers.
Yeah, and then, yeah, our protagonist quickly meets a few beast tribes, kind of gets a little bit of an understanding of the world. And then, I've literally just explained the whole first episode. And then very quickly goes to fight, another, not a god, but I'm going to call him a deity.
It's a dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon, which, you know, he overpowers. The dragon is all like, okay, you can become my master. And then she turns into a samurai-obsessed beauty, and it just goes from there, and it's just hilarious. And the entire, like, overarching plot is that he just wants to get back at the goddess somehow, and maybe make a city along the way.
And find out where his parents came from.
Oh, yeah, that too. I've completely forgotten about his parents.
I love that, like, building a city on the way to his main goal is just like a side thing he's got going on. Like, you know, I feel like it, I might build a city.
Well, it's kind of like, it's because his power is very strange. It's like ki, it's like energy. The dragon's power is kind of almost like she can read memories, and she also has like a little like a pocket dimension, if you will, which is, I guess, powered by him. And because when they make their pack, it becomes very lush and green. And he makes a passing comment about how, like, oh, you can make, like, a hidden city here. And so she takes that as, like, a literal command. And the next thing you know, she's got all the orcs moving in there, and they're building houses, and it's great. But it kind of, I get the vibe that might be, like, that kind of overarching plot is going to develop. Because he seems very kind of disgruntled about the fact that, like, why is the goddess essentially giving everything to the humans, but then just shitting on all the other races? And so I think, like, there's going to be that kind of overarching plot where it's like, I'm going to build somewhere where everyone can live happily together.
Yeah, and while in the pocket dimension, the second episode, he does comment that, or someone comments that the goddess can't see what's happening in that pocket dimension.
Yeah, and then but the rules of the pocket dimension are kind of strange, because roll into the second episode, when a giant spider just attacks and breaks in.
Yeah, I think that she managed to do that because the dragon, Shen, or whatever her name is now, had just come back through the mist, so the mist was still there, but the spider had to break through because it wasn't invited in like everyone else had been invited in.
Yeah. I also just want to say, whilst we were talking about the spider, the Great Spider of Disaster. As someone with arachnophobia, it took a lot to watch that, but I have to admit, I was fine, and I don't know why. But all the scenes with the spider, it was just like, this isn't actually too bad. And then it turned out that the spider likes getting hurt, and I was like, ah, yes, I'm watching an anime.
I'm not a big fan of spiders, so I wasn't looking forward to that, but when it started bursting through, it's like, it just looks like a monster with long legs. I don't think you see very much of it with all eight legs on show. It's all like just a few legs at a time, so that kind of minimizes how spider-like it looks.
I like the bit where it's right at the start, where the god tells him that the parents would lose something that was very important to them, and for some reason he picks the annoying, ugly-ass son and not one of the two daughters who seems significantly more achieved in life. So, favorite.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I'm mistaken. Maybe I've forgotten, but like, I could have sworn it was a case that it was going to be the sisters, but it was like he took the brother, because it was just kind of like, hey, you know, you don't want your sisters to have to be isekai'd, and he was just like, yeah, I suppose you're right.
Well, I thought they picked him first, and then they said if he refused, they would take his sister. Is how I understand.
Oh, maybe actually,
maybe a mix of both. Yeah. I did like how the deity said that he'll delete the browser history.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He knew what was going on. He's a good deity.
I didn't. The thing I kind of enjoyed at the start, and then it annoyed me at the end, was it sets itself up as like a parody of an isekai, which I thought was quite funny. And it handles it quite funny. But you know, by the end of the first episode, it's just an isekai, and like it's not even. It's literally just an isekai, and it's like, oh, I thought this was going to be like funny and different, but you've actually just become every other thing that normally does this.
You became the thing you swore to defeat.
Indeed,
within three episodes.
I mean, because like even in the first like 15 minutes, like he's making comments about how like this is what usually happens to an isekai and stuff like that, and then yeah, it very quickly turns into an isekai.
One of my comments was that it gets right in introducing the characters, goes by nice and quick. It's well paced, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It skips through quite a lot of what you need It doesn't get strung up on. The one thing I really like, I'm not the massive fan of East cars, as we've established about this, but the one thing I liked about this is that it doesn't dawdle on the actual, like, going back in time. Like, it's kind of like, you're going back, here's the thing, you're there. And I was like, that's nice, because, like, I don't give a shit about his present day, because it doesn't matter. Like, he's not going to be there. Like, just get me into the other stuff. I think that's why I normally, like, get bored of them really quick, because I'm sat there like, all these characters are right now at the start, they're going to be irrelevant. Whereas in this one, it was like, they're all going to be irrelevant, so we'll just fucking ignore them. Let's just do the time travel. And I was like, yes, good.
It does ignore the boring stuff, because as you said, Nikki, he's given the power to understand non-human languages with the technicality that he can't understand human language. So he has to learn the human language, and he can't speak it, but it just skips over the time where he was learning it to get him into the human city in the third episode.
Yeah, and something I quite liked as well is that they only really go back to the sort of his old life, if you will. I should point out, this isn't like an isekai in that he's been reincarnated. He's literally just been moved from one world to another, memories and everything intact. But like, because the dragon can read memories, like when they're fighting, as like a last ditch attempt, she like locks him in like a pocket dimension where, and like basically tries to like distract him with a good memory. And we get to see that he was part of the archery club, and there was a girl who he kind of liked. Anyway, he very quickly breaks out of it because he's like, hang on, this is not how this went. You're trying to mess up my memories. And that's kind of really like the only first proper look into like what his life was like that you actually get, which explains why as well, like, he's a really good archer. But they don't dwell on it. It's like a minute, 2 minutes, and then they just carry on. I also like the detail that because he can't contain his magic power because the first time he sees a human, the humans like start attacking him, and he's like, I don't understand. And then like, you know, the monsters, basically, well, not the monsters, but like demi-humans is usually what they refer to them. The sort of demi-humans and his companions are just like, well, you're leaking mana. It's like, well, what do I look like? And it's like, well, you look like a couple of demon lords.
I don't think they say a couple. I think they say a bunch, because he tries to suppress it. Oh, there's one fewer demon kings now.
It's like seven or something stupid like that.
I like the first person he meets in this world is a pig, who's actually an orc. And when they're speaking to each other in her head, she's like, oh, this human speaking to me? And he's like, I'm talking to a pig. And I was like, he's talking to a pig. And then she's like, I'm an orc. And I was like, am I like, is this a joke somewhere? Like, does she look like a pig on purpose? Like, I don't understand why she looks like a pig.
I think the pig people are just orcs.
Well, yeah, I just assumed in the end that pig people were just orcs. But I was like, is there a reason she looks like a pig? And I was like, I suppose it's just how they've been designed. It's a bit weird, but hey.
I love as well that their first interaction is, because he hears her screaming for help, and he's like, I'll try and help. And then just one-shots this creature, and even he's like, what the heck? And there's like blood everywhere. He's like horrified. She's horrified. And like, he tries to make conversation, and you get this moment where she's just thinking like, do I ignore him? No, that's not an option. Do I run away? That's not an option. Okay, I'll just talk to him. And he's really happy that like she basically can't run away. She has to talk to him, because at this point, I think he's been wandering the desert for like 3 days or something stupid.
There's a lot of humor in this show. As you said, the dragon can read his memories. At one point, oops, my hand slipped. She grabbed some hentai from his memories. When he first encounters a human, and she runs away. And he goes, she ran away from me. Is there a monster behind me? And looks behind to check. He's quite savvy in that way.
Yeah, it's nice to have a protagonist that isn't necessarily an idiot. Like, he's at least kind of got his head screwed on and is aware of what's going on. Fair enough, he can't talk to anyone. But, like, it's kind of funny, actually, because in a way, he kind of takes a bit of a backseat to Shin and Mio. Because, like, when they make a contract with him, it's some nonsense that, like, the weaker creature has to take on the form of the stronger creature. So, of course, the dragon and the spider turn into attractive women. And then there's just, like, they're just wild. You know, you've got one that is, like, obsessed with samurai period dramas and believes they're a samurai. And then you've got another one that just wants to eat everything and kill everyone. And he's got to somehow, like, kind of, like, rein them in. And it's just hilarious. I realize as well we haven't touched on the fact that like it's a very good looking show. Like the animation is very good.
I don't know about that one. I think the animation is good. I agree with you there. I don't like the art of the character. Well, I guess character design is probably the right answer. But there's something.
I was going to say I like the character design.
No, I didn't like the character design. I thought they were a bit meh. I thought they were a bit basic. I think the character design is really carried by the animation. And there was one, it was an anime, I can't remember which one it was. It was an anime we spoke about earlier in this series, which was the other way around, where like the character design was great, but the animation was shit, and it was being carried by the character design. And I thought it was an interesting way of it being done, because you don't normally see like good animation, and well, for me at least, I don't normally see good animation like below par character design. But like, I really couldn't get into any of them. I was kind of just like, you all look a bit basic, you all look a bit generic. Admittedly, I know I was talking about a pig orc earlier, so, you know.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, something I do like about the show is that, like, the color palette is, it's not vibrant in that, like, it's, you know, extremely bright colors all the time, but, like, it's a slightly more colorful color palette. Like typically, isekais and, like, fantasy, they're a bit muted, but this one, like, yeah, it, you know, it's a bit more bright. I was going to say cheery, but it's not really that cheery. It's lighthearted. I think this show does a good mix of like, it's an isekai in every way, but it's definitely a bit more. It sounds weird saying it like this, but it's a bit more watchable. If you're necessarily not a fan of isekais, like there's comedy, there's a little bit of action. Like I feel like it's one of the stronger isekais in that you could probably get someone who's not normally into isekai to watch it, and they probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I can see that because as we've discussed, it's not. It does focus more on the world that they're in rather than this character's lamenting, oh, I miss home, or this is like this from my world, or it is more like a fantasy anime.
Also, banger of an opening.
It does have a very good opening, to be fair. I did think that as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is a class opening. I think the outro is really good as well. I think both songs are really good.
The opening is very energetic. Very, I just think that's the word, energetic.
It's got guitars.
I mean, they all have guitars.
Yeah, but this one's got a bit more guitar. That's how you know it's good. Alrighty. As we always do, we like to give our sort of initial impression based on the first three episodes in the form of a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh. We save, we'll be saving our final scores for the end of season episode. But based on the first three episodes, Ace, what do you think?
Thumbs up. I'm really enjoying this, and I'm looking forward to episodes 4, 5 onwards.
Nice. Rhodes, how about you?
It's a meh for me. I'm not a massive fan of isekais, as we know, so it was an uphill battle, really, from the start. I was disappointed that it seemed like a bit of a parody at first, but it kind of lost that and sort of fell back into the normal vibe you would get. I do like the animations. I do think what I will say is that if you like these kind of shows, you will like the show. Like, this isn't a bad show. This is just a meh for me, because if you're like me and you don't like them, this isn't going to be the one that wins you around. But if it's what you like, and it will give you everything you would normally expect, and it does have some good laughs, as I said earlier. Like there is humour in it that is quite funny. But it's not for me, and thus I wouldn't recommend it for people who don't like these kind of things.
No, I think that's fair. It's a thumbs up from me. You know, I've made it very clear I like isekai. This is definitely one of the stronger isekais. Like, if someone said to me, I've never watched an isekai, what should I watch? This would be one of the ones I'd recommend. Yeah, I think if you know what you're getting yourself into, you'll have a good time. There's definitely some good laughs to be found here. All right, well, I think that wraps up for this episode. Thank you very much for joining me, Ace and Rhodes. And thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Pals Anime Lounge. If you like the show, then why not subscribe on Stitcher or Spotify? You can also enjoy video versions of each episode on YouTube. Just search for the Pals Anime Lounge to find them. And as always, we release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time, so check back to wherever you're listening to this one to catch the next one.